Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is a Republican candidate for state representative in the 110th District, Keith Lacoste. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great chance for us to get to know you a little bit. Where are you located? Where do you hail from?
I live in Powell Township, which is in Marquette Township near Big Bay, or Marquette County, rather. In the most eastern part of the district.
Okay. So the Western UP, this 110th district always kind of found it was, you know, a little bit odd, just how huge of a district it really is when you're considering land mass. And what challenges does that provide, you know, when you're trying to reach that many people?
Well, a lot of windshield time. But, you know, I don't mind it. I love going out and talking to the people and just loving all of the scenery that I probably normally wouldn't get on a regular basis. You know, we live in God's country, so it's just beautiful to see parts of the UP that I don't normally see.
What history do you have with holding public office?
Well, I was a city councilman and a mayor in the city of Negaunee in Marquette County back when I lived in Negaunee. I did run for county commission at one time, didn't get that one, but been kind of sitting on the sidelines for a while, and decided it's time again.
One time you were mayor of Negaunee?
Correct.
What was that experience like?
I loved it. I loved sitting on the council and as mayor. It was a great experience.
Why'd you get out of it?
Well, I was up for re-election in Negaunee, but instead of running again there, I ran as county commission.
Okay. All right. And what do you do when you're not holding or running for office?
I work full-time in the human services field. I'm a caseworker.
Oh, okay. All right. What led you to want to run for this particular office here for the state legislature? That's a big jump.
Yes. Well, like so many other people that I've talked to, I just felt like the UP is largely ignored or even forgotten by Lansing. I've tossed around the idea of running for some time. And then, you know, after the car insurance reform didn't pass, my frustration just grew from there. After a lot of thought and encouragement from friends and family, I just decided to run for office and to be the voice for the people of the UP.
We'll just kind of do a quick overview here so we know where to go and what issues are important to you besides the auto insurance. We'll definitely touch on that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are some of the other hot topic items that are leading you to want to be a part of this process?
Well, another issue which is high on my agenda is the high energy costs in the UP.
Okay.
You know, we pay very high rates. There's a lack of competition between providers. Providers have a monopoly on their, you know, their geographical area in which they provide services. The market needs to be open. Competition increases supply, and that brings costs down. Competition between traditional and renewable providers, so the consumer has a choice. I think choice is always a good thing. When elected, I worked diligently to open up the markets through reducing regulation that hinders free markets and work closely with industry to find solutions.
The cost of energy comes up pretty much no matter who I talk to.
Yes.
And you would think with a problem that is so widely known and so many people saying, you know, it's important to them that we would have a plan. See, very few, you know, plans of, okay, well, this is what we're going to do to address it. I don't understand why we do pay the rates that we do. It's another question that becomes difficult to answer. It's like, okay, well, our location is a is a problem. I mean, mm-hmm. we're somewhat isolated, but then so is Hawaii, and yet they're paying less than we pay. So the auto insurance is another one where you only have to cross the state lines. And, you know, if you go from Michigan to Ohio, I have a friend in Ohio who they pay significantly less in auto insurance than we do here in Michigan. Just to back up one issue there.
Well, even on the western end, the most western end, on the border of Wisconsin, I mean, there's people that live in Michigan, have a address in Wisconsin, so they can get Wisconsin rates on their car insurance. And they're saving boatloads of money compared to what we're paying. I believe in choice. You know, there are some people that want to keep the higher, because you get that that lifetime benefit with the no fault insurance, but then there's others like myself that would like to pay a lot less, you know, because when people are allowed to keep their own more of their own money, then they tend to spend more money on, you know, going to the mom and pop shops, and just the economy works much better when people are allowed to keep more of their own money and don't have to spend as much on like the electric or car insurance.
The auto insurance reform failed to pass, even though we have, you know, in the state legislature, Republican controlled House and Senate. So, there was something that was scaring people away from it. Now, when I've talked to the current state representative, his issue with it was that the benefit you would get would not line up with the savings the benefits you would lose would not line up with the amount of savings that you would get, yet your insurance rates would only drop down a very small amount, but yet you losing something like that lifetime coverage was a lot to lose for only saving a matter of a few dollars.
Right. And I really think that getting together with actually seeing the last bill and tweaking that, and getting together with the car insurance industry and seeing where we can come and meet somewhere in the middle. Choice. You know, when consumers have choice, you know, much happier. You know, you and I, you know, just take TV, for example. I mean, we have umpteen channels, and we choose what channel to watch. I think the same can be with, you know, with your car insurance and with your electric rate. You know, choice is always a good thing.
Talking right now with Keith Lacoste. He is running for the 110th district for the state representative. He's a Republican. Let's talk a little bit about energy and some of those choices. There are various pockets of, you know, a proposal here for wind energy, a proposal for solar panels. I know Lons and Berga, they're looking at solar mm-hmm. power right now, and they actually do a pretty good job even with their own utility company for the Lons area. However, just east of you, of course, there's the electric power plant at Cloverland.
In Marquette County, the Board of Light and Power there has a solar farm. And then, of course, there's the coal plants. You know, there's a mixture of different energy sources. The city of Nagani was in a co-op with a company in Wisconsin, and they have multiple sources of, you know, renewable and traditional electric rate or things that provide electricity, so that, you know, that would help keep costs down. You know, costs are still a little bit on the higher side as well, you know, throughout the UP, but I was, you know, having traditional and your renewable energy sources augmenting that traditional always is better for the consumer in the end. And, you know, we have all of these electric companies that kind of have their own little geographical area. Now, I don't know if that's an agreement between each of those companies, or is there a regulation that's regulating that? If it is a regulation, well, then we need to take a look at that and either fix that or eliminate it so that there is no regulation. So you open up that market and then you have competition, and competition is always a good thing.
I wonder what other rural areas are doing, what plan that or how they address, you know, providing electricity rates. It seems like it seems like we have the potential for diversity in place, you know, options for electricity. Now, what is the government's role in that is something that you folks would have to decide down in Lansing. Is, you know, does the government back things like wind energy and solar energy? Do you make them easier, cheaper? Do you subsidize them? What about some of the other options that are out there for localized produced energy, biomass energy producing power plants, those type of things? But you know, we can't be completely alone in this problem.
Right, and I think government's role is just to get out of the way. If there's some, you know, we have to, like I said, take a look at the regulations and perhaps taxes. You know, if one industry is getting taxed differently than the other, if renewables are getting taxed more than traditionals, for say, then we need to look at that and make it even across the board. I'm a low tax guy, so you know, I like low taxes. I like paying lower taxes. Most people do. Same thing with the job creators and industry. If we have a lower tax base, then you'll have more come in. If you have less regulation, you'll have more come in. And I'm always for giving more power back to the local governments and allowing them to decide, okay, well, we want to set up a wind farm here or perhaps a solar farm there. And then that way they can augment whatever traditional, whether it's UPCO or DTE or whoever it is, they can augment that with the renewable energy sources.
Over there on your side of this district, you have more active mining than we have here.
Correct.
So I know the issue comes up now. Usually when it comes up, you know, we have Highland Copper that has been doing some exploratory drilling over near the Porcupine Mountains. There is some concern because, you know, we love our area here. We love, you know, and we've seen some of the effects of irresponsible mining from our own history. So if this issue continues, how do you feel about some of the, you know, the deregulation and allowing mining companies to do more of that drilling and start opening up mines if possible?
Well, I'm very much pro mine. It's an anchor industry, much like our timber industry. Anchor industries, as you know, you not only have that mining company or that timber company, but you also have the contractors that come in after that, and they all shop in the local economies, and the economy, it booms, and then everybody is better off. We have a DEQ. Their role is to, you know, provide the permit for a mine opening up, and that's their job. If a mine passes muster and DEQ says, yeah, they're good to go, then let them. If there's an issue, let them correct that issue and then open up. Jobs are a good thing, and we want more jobs. We want to keep our youth here after school. You know, we have the 2020 census coming up, and we've lost people, and we may be losing another congressman or perhaps two. So that's less representation in Washington, D.C. for our area. So for Michigan. So anytime that we can open up a mine or any other kind of anchor industry, I'm all for that.
This might be part of your answer coming up here or not, but one of our issues here is how we're losing so many people from our area.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got a great educational system here, but there are very few jobs. And we, you know, even with Michigan Tech in our backyard, literally, we tend to graduate people and then send them away to where mm-hmm. they can work, and they don't stay here. What are some things we can do to turn that tide?
Well, like I was saying earlier, we open up the markets. When elected, I would actually have a dedicated staff member or staff members looking at different industry to come into our area. I did that as a mayor in the Gani. I ran on the Gani's open for business, and we had businesses come in. Just by saying that, you know, and holding back some of the city regulation. And we had new businesses come, we had businesses expand. I can take that experience and for a bigger picture here, and allow business to come in. You know, the 110th, the UP is open for business. You know, the 110th, 109, 108, all of them, the whole UP as a whole affects each other. We're very unique. So we need to, you know, shop with that, make sure that we have the jobs here for those who are graduating, and saying that also with education. I do believe in continuing expansion of the trades as far as vocational training in the high schools, and as well as like our community colleges. You know, 'cause some kids, they want to work in the trades. They don't necessarily want a 4-year degree. And there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, there are a lot of jobs throughout the UP that are trades jobs. And we need to continue to build on that. And, you know, when you open up a mine, there's a lot of trades jobs there. You know, we need to keep looking at opening up anchor industries and shopping and finding other businesses to come in and say, hey, the 110th is open for business.
One of the issues that has come up in Lansing, it's come up a couple of times just in the last few years, and even it was reintroduced here about a month ago, really, was about the state providing funding for community college education I think it was for anybody under $150,000 income. It was, I mean, virtually anybody that,
you know.
And the idea was that if we provide that education, we can help, I guess, keep them here in Michigan, perhaps even here in the Upper Peninsula, if they were able to get their education here. Would you support something like that?
Absolutely. I think we need to invest in not only our community colleges, but also our K-12. Our K-12, you know, you could say there's a true, we could do like a two-track system. But again, that student is the, you know, has to have the choice. You know, some students may want to do the trades and they go and do the vocational training, and then perhaps they work in the trades for a while and then decide, well, maybe I want to go on and get my 4-year degree and do something else. You know, I firmly believe in individual choice. But yeah, definitely, I am for investing in our schools, our K-12, and our community colleges.
But even providing the cost of tuition for attending those schools?
I mean, everyone has, you know, there's student loans and grants and scholarships available. To a point. I mean, you can't fund someone going to school forever. At some point they have to take responsibility and fund some of that on their own. But for sure, you know, we want to educate the students so that they are ready for the workforce when they graduate.
Sticking with education and also some funding issues too, because a number of years ago, the legislature had to make some hard choices when it came to education funding. And over the last several years, they've begun to reinvest in education, including mm-hmm. higher education, but also our public school system. It's not where a lot of people want it to be. Where do we need to go with that? Should we continue increasing that funding? Are we lagging behind in that? And is that something that you would address?
Well, it's something I definitely want to look into. I don't want to promise right now until I actually see what's going on with the budget. I mean, the budget just passed. I haven't looked at it yet. But I do know that they did do the increase, as you said. So let's see where that goes first. I truly believe that, our kids are our future. And if we want to have a brighter future, we have to invest in our children. That would be something I would have to look at before I could actually say for sure what I would do.
When you're talking to your constituents here, or potential constituents, mm-hmm. the voters really, what are they telling you that they want you to go down to Lansing and fix?
A lot of them are frustrated with car insurance. It's probably about even car insurance and the power, how much they pay to keep their lights on. And a lot of them are sick of the fighting. And I'm running a bold and positive campaign. I'm not saying I don't endorse anything negative. To me, you start slinging mud, you've already lost a debate. A lot of people are tired of the fighting and they just want action. There's a lot of talking, but there's not a lot of action.
Do you feel that you can work with, whether it's other Republicans, Democrats, no matter what it is, to try to get things done?
Absolutely. When I was the mayor, when I was running for mayor, I ran against someone who was of the opposite on a political spectrum. After I won, she became my biggest ally. I work very well with everyone. Am I going to agree with everyone? No. Are they going to always agree with me? No. But there's a way to come to the middle. You don't shirk on your principles, but you come and meet in the middle somewhere. And I'm a veteran, and I'm used to working in a team. I'm used to building teams, and one of my, slogans you could say is I'm building coalitions, because really we only have four representing the UP. We have three reps and a senator, four voices. You go down to Lansing, there's a whole lot more voices. And it's easy to get drowned out if you don't build teams, build coalitions. So that's a big thing for me is, I'm going to go down there, build teams of like-minded people so that our voice is heard.
Now, when people do go to the polls for the primary, they're going to, at least currently right now, find four Republicans listed there. Your name would be one of them. Why should they check Keith LaCosse as opposed to one of the other three who would also be going down to represent a lot of the same issues?
Well, I've been knocking on a lot of doors throughout the district and hoping to get in some more today. Talking to a lot of people. I'm very active on with the campaign. Why would they vote for me? Because of my vast experience. I have vast experience in human services, so I've worked with people. Anybody who's worked with people knows that it's not the most easy job in the world. I'm a team builder. So building teams, building coalitions of like-minded people is what we have to do to get the UP's voice heard, otherwise we'll drown. That's, you know, that's about it. I'm very excited, and I just love going out and talking and meeting new people, and you know, I will make sure that UP's voice is heard. The 1/10th will have a voice in Lansing when they vote for me.
My guest has been Keith Lacoste. He's a Republican running for state representative in the 110th district. Keith, if somebody wants to follow your campaign, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I have a very active Facebook page. That is Keith Lacoste for 1/10th state representative. You could leave a comment, question, whatever. I do get back to everyone that does comment or question on there. I also have a website. It's a bit under construction, but you can go visit that, and that is Lacoste, the number 4, rep.com. And my email is keith@lacoste4rep.com. That's the number 4.com, rep.com.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.